Blessings. It's 9:01. Introducing Eli Weber at 9:01 sharp on a Tuesday morning as we zip along with Zoom at the Farin Eshkolo with Eli Weber, taking us on another journey to Sefer HaMitzvot. Take it away, Eli.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Bereishis is a challenge in finding mitzvos in the parshios, or at least mitzvos d'oraisa. But there are tons of quasi-mitzvos and moral lessons, and etc. This week we're going to do what most people understand to be a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but it certainly implicates d'oraisa values, and in certain circumstances might itself be a mitzvah d'oraisa, and that is the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim. Something, you know, we all try to do, and something which is a theme in two major stories in this week's parsha. The positive one that we'll focus on is the story that begins the parsha. You know, the malachim, the angels, whoever they were, visiting Avraham. That's very, very important. But at the end, I want to talk about the opposite case. The opposite case is Sodom, where, you know, they were literally, you know, against hachnasat orchim, right? If you don't, you see it in the psukim, you see it in Chazal. So I want to sort of bookend the shiur with both of those stories. But the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim raises all kinds of interesting halachic issues, not just, you know, how are you mekayim the mitzvah? Like I've always thought to myself, you know, if we invite our neighbors over for Shabbos, right, for a meal. Now, our neighbors, thank God, have enough money for their own food. They have a house. You know, is that the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim, or is hachnasat orchim really something closely connected to tzedakah, connected to people who don't have places to stay? You know, that's an interesting issue. There are many, many gemaros that compare hachnasat orchim with God and our relationship with God. And of course, in the story, there seems to be this bizarre moment where perhaps, it's not clear in the psukim, Avram Avinu says to God, listen, it's so nice of you that you visited me, but I have guests. You know, could you please wait for me? From which the Gemara learns a whole bunch of things also. So let's start with the sheet, and let's start with the story in the beginning of this week's parsha. It's a story that has a lot of, you know, hachnasas orchim details, and so it's worth going through and seeing what we can make of it. So the parsha begins as follows: Vayera elav Hashem be'elonei mamre v'hu yoshev petach ha'ol k'chom hayom. Right? It's a good example of where a parsha break is not in a good place, right? You know, it should have said Vayera Hashem el Avraham be'elonei mamre, but it doesn't, because this is really the continuation of the story of Avraham's bris milah, right? It's something we're not going to discuss today, but a fascinating story. Like, who broke the parshios up? And why is it that sometimes it seems to be broken in the wrong place? This is a good example where, if you didn't know anything, Vayera elav Hashem be'elonei mamre, so you say, well, who is it? The answer is, this is a continuation of last week's story. Okay. But critical to our understanding of the story is that it happened immediately after Avram's bris milah, right? We know Rashi and Chazal say it was the third day, and God, you know, one of the understandings of the story is that God came to be mevaker cholim. Okay, another mitzvah drabbanan which we've talked about in the past. Okay, vayisa ina vayar. Avram lifts up his eyes and he sees. There are three people, you know, kind of hovering. Avram literally, you know, runs after them and he bows down to them. Vayomar, and here's where the problem starts. That next word has two meanings, right? Vayomar, Adoshem, or Adonai. And I'll explain, right? Adoshem means he's talking to God. Adonai means my masters, he's talking to the people, or he's talking to the most important of the people. That's a major, major machlokes, and it makes a big difference in understanding the story. So we'll try to read it both ways. Either he's talking to God, and he says, "Imna matzati chein beinecha al not tavor me'al avdecha." You know, God came to visit Avraham, and Avraham says to God, literally, listen, if you like me, you'll wait, because I got to deal with these guests. Okay? The simpler pshat, even though it's awkward because of the word, you know, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, the simple pshat is, he says to the three people, or to the leader of the three people, please, please, if I find favor in your eyes, don't continue on your trip. Please come into my tent. And that's the easier reading, because then the next pasuk is Avram says to them, Yukach na ma'at mayim v'rachatzu ragleichem, you know, take some water, wash your feet, v'hi sha'anu tachat ha'etz. And you'll rest under the tree. You know, the vision is, and certainly in Chazal, it's very, very hot, right? The Medrash says that God made it extremely hot so that no guests would come by, so that Avram could recover in peace from his bris milah. Okay, but Avram says, rest under the tree. Ve'akhafas lechem b'sa'adu libchem achar tavoru. I'll give you some bread, and you'll satiate yourself. Ki al kein avartem al abdechem. Because it's sort of my honor that you've passed me, that you've come to my house. Vayomru kein ta'asek kesha dibarta. Yes, we'll do it. Vayimaher Avraham ha'ohelo el Sarah. Vayomer, he runs in and he tells Sarah, Maharish shlos se'im kemach solet. You know, make, I don't know, three fine flour pancakes. Lushi va'asiru goat, knead them and make cakes. Ve'la bakar rots Avraham. He runs to the cattle. Vayikach ben bakar rach vato vayitena lanar vayimaher lasot oto. Right, Avram's doing all of this. Vayikach chama v'chalav u'ben bakar ashresa vayitena lahem. To me, the overwhelming impression you get is, you know, Avram Avinu at the age of 99, having recovered or recovering from a bris milah, is genuinely excited to have guests, right? This isn't like some formal thing. And my understanding is, you know, Avram Avinu had a big household and many servants. And Avram runs to the tent, and Avram runs here, and Avram begs the people. This really, you know, I think more than any story of Avraham, this gives you a sense for why he's so beloved. You don't get the sense that he's doing it out of obligation. You don't get the sense that he sent a servant to call them in, and that he has a big household and they took out food. You know, he gives them water. More than anything, you know, the feeling is, and there's a lot of details. You know, we often ask ourselves, and I think it's a fair question, why does the Torah spend so much time on this? Why does the Torah spend so much time on that? And clearly this story could have been, you know, angels come to Avram's house and he admits them. All of which, you know, what's the point we're trying to get to? These are the same people. You know, they're necessary for the narrative. These are the same people who are going to tell Avraham that Sarah is going to give birth to Yitzchak. And some of them are going to continue to stone, to destroy it, and to save Lot. But all the details, and literally, you know, there's seven extra psukim here that describe how Avraham went about preparing and serving these people. And more than anything, you know, I'm overwhelmed by, I think, the message of what kind of person Avraham is and how much he invested in the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim. It's just hard. It's hard to miss the Torah emphasizing, you know, just this picture of somebody who's sick and who's 99 running around with great excitement. And clearly he doesn't know that they're angels. He doesn't know anything about it. Okay, that's where we start. Now, as if the presentation of Hachnasat Orchim is not important enough or not emphasized enough, the Gemara in Shabbos in source number 2 goes one step further. The Gemara says, and really it's a staggering statement, Source number two. Gidola hachnasat orchim mehakbalat pnei ashkina. The mitzvah of welcoming guests is more important, it's the best translation I come up with, than welcoming God. How does the Gemara know this? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Vayomer, you know, go back up to Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer, that next word, you know, Adoshem or Adonai, Imna matzati chen beinecha al ta'avor me'al raglecha. The Gemara's understanding is that that is the Shem Hashem. And that literally Avraham said to Hashem, to God, please wait here. I have to take care of these orchim. Right? You know, there's much to be said about that, but that's the drasha. It turns out that's a major machlokus in other Gemaros. The Rambam in source number three says, the Rambam has a discussion about, you know, when is the Shem Hashem, and when is it really, you know, again, in Hebrew, Adonai means my master. And it's a word that, you know, people can use just in regular conversation. So the Rambam says in source number three, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Kol HaShemot HaAmurim BaAvraham Kodesh. When it describes words that could be understood as God, when it's in a story of Avraham, the answer is it is God. Avze Shenemar Adoshem Imna Matzati Chein Harehu Kodesh. So the Rambam passes like the Gemara that we saw in Shabbos that understands when it says Vayomar Hashem Imna Matzati Chein Beinecha, it's talking about God, in which case, literally, Avraham tells God, wait here, I'll be back, but first I have to take care of my guests. Okay, I just unbelievable. Second line, back in the Gemara. Amar, Allah's Gemara has more drushes. Ba'urei, shelo kimidat ha-kadosh baruch hu midat basar vadam. Man and God are different. In what way are they different? Midat basar vadam. In human behavior, ein katon yachol lomar legadol hamtein ad shavo etzlecha. Right? You know, we don't tell the king, we don't tell the prime minister, you know, just a minute, I have to do something, and then I'll be with you. V'ilu b'hakadosh baruch hu k'tiv, right? Hashem imna matzati chein beinecha, as if God is willing to wait while Avraham Avinu deals with Orchim. But, you know, human beings, the gadol, the prime minister, the important person, you would never ask him to wait while you deal with others. Now, it's less of a chiddush to me simply because if you say to yourself, well, hachnasat orchim is something that God wants us to do. So it's not like, you know, he said, okay, God, you know, I'm not interested in you. I have to do hachnasat orchim. Hachnasat orchim is a mitzvah. Okay? Nevertheless, you know, the story itself stands for the incredible importance and the incredible investment that Avraham Avinu made personally in the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim. And the Gemara goes a step further in saying that you see from the story that not only is Hachnasat Orchim so an important value, it is more important than welcoming God. Okay? That's where we start. Now, what's the halacha and how do we understand it? Oh, I see Mr. Levy's here. All of us send our tanchumim to Mr. Levy on the passing of his wife. Who I had the schus to know and really was just an incredibly wonderful person, and we will miss her. Okay, let's continue. Sorry, I scrolled too fast. Let's look at the Rambam now and see how the Rambam codifies this mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim and into what group of mitzvot does it belong. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yudal Alach Aleph, source number four. Mitzvat Aseh Shel Divrehem. What's a Mitzvat Aseh Shel Divrehem? What does Divrehem mean? Anybody?
Of the Avot.
Their words.
No, it's a term of art in the Rambam. Mitzvat Aseh Shel Divrehem means Durabanan. Right? Divrei Hem, it means it's a mitzvah drabbana. What's the list of mitzvos to Rabbanan that the Rambam is going to give now? Levaker cholim, right? Visiting the sick, lenachem avelim, comforting mourners, lohotzi amet, arranging for the funeral, hachnis kala, lelavot ha'orchim. We'll come back to this. Lelavot ha'orchim, you know, means literally accompanying the guests. Sometimes it's understood as a euphemism for hachnasat orchim. It's clearly related to it. And sometimes it's seen as a separate mitzvah. Okay? But here's the Rambam giving us a long list of mitzvot derabanan. Lehitasek b'chol tzarchei akvura, to worry about the burial, to carry the dead body. Lesameach chatan v'kala, right? To make the chasam, to make them happy. And now the Rambam says, ve'elu hein gemilut chasadim shebigufo, she'ein lahem shiur. Right? There's no measurement. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. Generally speaking, you know, the Mishnah says, we say it every morning, right? Elu dvarim she'ein lahem shiur, ha'peyah v'ha'bikurim v'ha'reayon, gmilut chasadim. So gmilut chasadim, it's generally thought of as being not monetary mitzvot, but things that you do with your body, right? If you walk a guest from your house, there's no shiur. You do it over and over again. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. Okay? Everybody with me? So far we've seen a list of mitzvot derabanan that the Rambam counts. You could sort of collect all of them under the heading of gemilut chasadim, as the Rambam seems to be doing. And gemilut chasadim are mitzvot she'ein lahem shiur. Okay? You know, you can't quantify them. Now the Rambam says something really interesting. Second to last line, where my cursor is. Af al pi shekol mitzvot elu midivrehem. It's true that hachnasat orchim is a mitzvah drabanan, and nichum avel is mitzvah drabanan, bikur cholim, etc. Harehein bichlal v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. They nevertheless are part of the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, loving your fellow as yourself. Now, we all know v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And the Rambam explains, what is the mitzvah? Kol ha'dvarim she'ata rotzeh she'ya'asu otam l'cha acherim. Anything you want somebody else to do for you, asei ata otan la'achicha b'torah mitzvah. You should do for your fellow observant Jews. So now you really have a strange Rambam. The Rambam begins by saying, here's a list of mitzvahs d'rabbanan. And then the Rambam concludes by saying, even though they're mitzvos d'rabbanan, they all, or occasionally, they can also be a mitzvah d'oraisa of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So the simple pshat is, you know, the ahavta l'reacha kamocha is sort of a big mitzvah d'oraisa, right? It may or may not encompass certain things. The chachamim came along and said, without reference to v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, here are things that everybody should do. They should do bikur cholim. They should do nichum avelim. They should show up to weddings and make the chasan and kala happy. They should do all these things. Those are mitzvos drabana. But by the way, says the Rambam, when done properly, when properly motivated, right, bikur cholim, nichum avelim are also a kiyum of the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. There's the act. The act is, I visited a sick person, I visited an avel. But if I did it because I genuinely wanted them to feel better, if I did it because I said to myself, you know, if I was in that situation, I would want people to visit me, so I'm going to visit him, you check two boxes. Of course you did the mitzvah of nichum avelim, of course you did the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, but on top of that, if you did it properly, then you also got a mitzvah of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Okay, that's the first Rambam. Here's the second Rambam.
Hello. Are there any other mitzvot? Are there any other mitzvot like that? That if you do it one way, it's Rabbanah. You do it the other way, it's
Doraita. Look at the Rambam. There's a long list, right? Bikur cholim, nichum avelim, going to funerals, going to weddings, you know, walking your guests or having guests. Whatever. It seems like there, you know, the normal distinction which we think exists between Drabbanans and Daraisas, and that's, you know, not always the case. Right? It could be that Chachamim gave us a specific, you know, here's an example. I think, let's say Purim. Okay, Purim is clearly a mitzvah Drabbanan. Right? It happened after the Torah. But, you know, if in the course of celebrating Purim and listening to the Megillah, you're overwhelmed by the sense of how good God is to us, you know, and you have a moment of love of God. So, of course, you got a mitzvah, v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. You also got a mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. You know, there is bigger overlap, I think, than we normally grant, right? You know, giving tzedakah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa of giving tzedakah. But giving tzedakah in a really, really nice way, where a person feels good, could also be a mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, right? I think there's greater overlap in mitzvos than we normally think. Let's continue. The Raman Halacha Bet deals much more with Hachnasas Archim, or really with what he thinks is Levayas Archim. By the way, you recognize the term, you know, in Hebrew, a funeral is a Levaya, from the word to accompany, right? The point is to walk with the Avelim and to walk with the body. So says the Rambam, Schar Halvaya Merubah Min HaKol. Walking with people is the greatest reward. V'hu hachok shechikako Avraham Avinu v'derech hacheset shenahagba. This is something that Avraham Avinu started and is a hallmark of Avraham's chesed. How does it work? Ma'achil ovrei drachim. He feeds, you know, travelers. U'mashke otan. And he gives them drink. U'milave otan. And then he walks with them, right? Avraham Avinu, I didn't put it on the sheet, I probably should have, you know, then walks with the Malachim on their way to stone. And that's where he has the whole back and forth with God. The Pasuk is clear, Avraham Avinu walks with them. U'gidola hachnasat archim mehakpalat pnei ashkina. Here the Rambam quotes the Gemara we saw on Shabbos. Shenemar vayar v'hinei shlosha anashim. Ulevayam yoter mehachnasatam, says the Rambam, walking with them is more important than actually hosting them. Amru chachamim kol sheino melaveh ki ilu shofech damin. Okay, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but the halacha really is something we should remind ourselves of. You're supposed to walk guests. How far is not clear, to the front door, you know, onto the street. But somehow that's very important. I think it might be related to Egla Arufa, right? Again, when do you bring an Egla Arufa? What do we say when we bring an Egla Arufa? So we say, you know, we didn't leave these people to their own way. And I think there's a sense of these people are guests, they're wandering, they don't have ways. One of the nicest things you could do is give them direction. One of the nice things you could do is instead of saying, you know, make a right turn at the corner, you walk them to the corner. So here the Rambam really says, there's something magical and something special about accompanying guests. Okay? That's the mitzvah of Levayat Orchim. And that's what the Rambam's focused on here in Perek Yudal of Hilchos Avel. Okay. Now, let's move on to a fundamental question, a fundamental halachic question, and that is, what type of mitzvah is hachnasat orchim? And I'll explain. Broadly speaking, and we've touched on this before, mitzvot aseh are broken up into obligatory and conditional. In halacha, they're called a mitzvah chiyuvit. For example, I have to eat matzah at the Seder. I have to take a lulav on Sukkos. I have to hear a shofar. I have to make kiddush on Shabbos, right? These are unconditional obligations. They're a chiyuv. And a mitzvah kiyumit, which is conditional, and based on other factors. So, for example, is it the case that hachnasat arachim is, well, if somebody knocks on my door and asks me if they could come in and they need food, then I'll do it. Then I have a mitzvah, hachnasat arachim. But otherwise, you know, in my normal life, if the situation doesn't arise, I'm not chayav, I'm not obligated to chase after the mitzvah of hachnasat arachim. Or no, is hachnasat arachim like tefillin? I'm supposed to put on tefillin every day. I'm supposed to try to find guests as much as I can. Obviously, if you can't, you can't. But to the extent I can, I'm supposed to be proactive, right? Which is the right approach? So many people point to the Gemara in Bava Metzia in source number 5, where it sounds like Avraham Avinu actively chased after the mitzvah. Beginning of the parsha again, source number 5, Bava Metzia Pei Vav Amdeis. What does it mean that it was hot? The Torah is not in the business of giving us weather reports. By the way, in my mind, it's always warm and sunny in the Torah. I just have to admit, like, it never rains in any of the stories in the Torah. That's just me. I assume it does.
What about Noah? Except for Noah, Ellie. Parshat Noah with the flood.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You caught me. I never thought of that. The answer is, I'm just pointing out, like, it's rare. Chazal were close readers. Why did they darshan kechom hayom? Because they say to themselves, the Torah doesn't generally tell us the weather. So the point is, Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, Oso hayom yom shlishi shel milah shel Avraham haya. It was the third day after Avram's bris milah. As we know from the story in Shechem, we think the third day is the most painful. I'll have to admit, I don't remember. Uva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lish'ol BaAvraham. And God came to visit Avraham. Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Minar Tika Kidei Shelo Yatriach Oto Tzadik Baruchim. God made it exceptionally hot so that people wouldn't be traveling and they wouldn't bother Avraham, right? It's just a sweet moment. You know, God wants Avraham to be able to rest. So he's protecting him from guests. You know, he's like your spouse who's like, you know, wants you to sleep and tells, then, you know, no, he can't see you right now. Shadre la Eliezer la Mefak libra. He sent Eliezer to go outside and look for guests. Nafak velo ashkach. Eliezer came back and said, there's no one out there. Amar lo mehem nalach. I don't believe you. I mean, the sense is, you know, Avraham felt like Eliezer was protecting him. And the sense of the story is, no, Avraham, you know, sort of energetically and proactively looked for guests. So there are some who want to say, well, if we learn the mitzvah from the Torah's description of Avraham Avinu, then it's something proactive, and we're supposed to be chasing after guests. Okay? To me, you know, it seems like a huge, you know, Avraham Avinu did this. Avraham Avinu ran. Avraham did all these things. You know, I don't know. But that's a discussion that exists in Achronim and in Poskim. Into which category of mitzvos do we want to put Hachnasat Arachim? Now, how does it normally work? So if you asked me, you know, if we're not obligated to do it in the Torah, so then if we can, we do. If it comes up, we do it. And if not, not. The classic example is tzitzis. Okay? It's classic and it's interesting. Look at source number 6. The Gemara Menachos Mamal Famarav says, Ashkiche l'rav Ketina d'michse sedina. Okay? They went to visit Rav Ketina and he was wearing a garment that was not chayav in tzitzis. Okay, so they said, Amale, ketina, ketina. This is cool. It's like how they spoke to him. Sedina bekaita. If you wear, you know, this, it's not linen. It's flat. It's some kind of beged that's putter. If you wear it in the summer, v'sarvala besitva. And in the winter, you wear this other type of garment that doesn't have four corners. tzitzis shel techeles matehe alal. So when are you going to do the mitzvah of tzitzis? Right? In those days, they didn't have separate tzitzis. You wore four-cornered garments, and you put tzitzis on them. So they came to him, and he wasn't doing it. Amar lei. So he said to them, anshitu aase? Wait, am I going to be punished for not doing a mitzvah sase? It doesn't apply to me. If I was wearing a four-cornered garment, I would put tzitzis on it, but I'm not. How could there be something wrong with that? It's a contingent mitzvah. Amar lei, they answered him, bizman de'ika rischa anshinan. In a moment when God is angry, then yes, he will punish us even for mitzvot asay that we didn't do. Interesting. And this leads to a whole philosophic discussion in Poskim. Ketina said, listen, I know the halacha. The halacha is that tzitzis is a contingent mitzvah. If I happen to be wearing a four-cornered garment, I have to put tzitzis on it. But if I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment, I'm not obligated. And the Gemara's response is yes and no. Technically speaking, I suppose you're correct. But bizman de'ika rischa, when God is genuinely angry at us, then anshina, then you're going to be punished. Now you say, well, what does that mean? Why would I be punished? I didn't do anything wrong. And the answer is, well, you did something wrong in that you tried to avoid a mitzvah, right? Technically speaking, nobody could punish you for not wearing tzitzis if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment. I look it up in the rule book. There's nothing wrong with that. And yet, it shows, something lacking in my relationship with God. It shows that somehow, I'm not doing that which I was supposed to do, even though supposed to do is not really halachic supposed to do. It's just, it's the right thing to do. Now, the question is, how far do we take this? We've discussed before. There's a mitzvah of makeh. It's a pasuk in the Torah, right? You're supposed to make a fence around a porch that somebody could fall off. But nobody thinks you have to buy a house that has a porch so that you can make a porch, so that you could make a fence. It's clearly contingent. If you have a house and a porch or a flat roof off of which people can fall, so you have to make a fence. But nobody says, Be'idan rischa, right? You don't have to, but when God is angry, he's going to look and see if you made a fence. It just doesn't apply to me. Another example, right? The mitzvah of mezuzah only applies if I have a house that requires a mezuzah. But if I don't, I'm going to be punished for it. There are all kinds of mitzvahs like that. There's a mitzvah of shechita. It's not the best example, right? But does anybody think that, I've never done it. Does anybody think, you're mevatel mitzvah of shechita if a cow walks past you and you don't slaughter it? No. If you need meat to eat, then you have to do the mitzvah of shechita. It's contingent. So why is it that tzitzis is different? But let's look at another example, because I think it's very similar. I mentioned to you what I believe to be true, that mezuzah is a contingent mitzvah. Okay, if you don't have a house, then you don't have a mitzvah of mezuzah. Now, let's look at an interesting halacha in source number 7 in Shulchan Aruch, on Hilchos Mezuzah. Says the Mechaber, Simon Reish Pei Zayin Sif Bet, Bayis sheyesh lo mezuzah mikan u'mikan. You have a house, and there are two doorposts, instead of having a lintel, is it called a lintel? A crossbeam? What's it called in English? Anybody? Don't know.
Lintel.
Lintel. Okay, good. So you have the two mezuzos and you have the mashkov. So normally the mashkov is at a 90-degree angle with the two mezuzahs. And of course, you have your chayv to put a mezuzah on it. But says the mechaber, no, what about a case where you have an arch? Okay, it's not clear exactly how the arch plays out. So the halach is as follows. Im yesh begova ha-mezuzot yudfachim o yoter chayav. If the two walls, the two mezuzot, the two doorposts are at least 10 tfachim, then even though the top is an arch, you're chayav to put on a mezuzah. V'mein bo yudfachim patur. But if it's not, then you're patur. Why? Mipnei she'ein lo mashkov. Because it's considered as if you don't have the lintel. Haga, says the Rama. V'chol she'kein petach she'ein lo gova asara tfachim de patur mi mezuzah. And obviously, you know, if you have a midget entranceway, so you're not going to have to put in the mezuzah. Okay? Now he says as follows. Ha-minhag mitpashet b'medinot elu, says the Rama, but where I live in Krakow, a place like that, derov olam somchim al mezuzah achat shosim al petach beitehem. Fascinating. Says the Rama, where I live, I got to tell you the truth, the minhag seems to be that people only have a mezuzah on their front door. And says the Rama, ve'eino nachon. It's not correct. Ve'ein lahem al mashi smochu. The minhag is wrong. They have nothing to rely on. Lachain kol yirei shamayim yitakein beito kidino b'chol ha-ptachim ha-chayavim. No, really what you should do is have a house where every mezuzah that's chayav and mezuzah, you know, gets a mezuzah. The sense you get here, and it's mentioned in some of the achronim on this siman in Shulchan Aruch, is you could make a house where the entranceways are technically potter from the mitzvah mezuzah. Okay? But that's wrong, because that's actively trying to avoid doing a mitzvah, right? There's a difference between I don't have a house, so I don't put up a mezuzah, and I have a house, but I want to save money, so I'm going to build the doorways with arches and in a way which they aren't high enough, in a way that will therefore technically make them potter from mezuzah. I think that's the parallel to the story about Rav Katina, you know, who wore clothing that weren't chayav in mezuzah. There's, you know, sometimes, okay, there's a situation which is simply not chayav in the mitzvah. And I think it's clear. So you're not chayav in the mitzvah. But where you're in the neighborhood, so maybe the argument is, and pardon me for saying this, listen, if you walk around naked, okay, so you don't have a chayav in the mitzvah of tzitzis. But once you're dressed, once you're wearing clothing, to wear clothing that gets you out of the mitzvah of tzitzis, that's problematic. And God is offended by that behavior. Yeah. You don't need to buy a house in order to put up a mezuzah. But to have a house and to do it in a way that helps you avoid the mitzvah, no, that's a problem. And I think from time to time, you know, we come across this. I sometimes feel guilty. I certainly do it. Maybe others do or don't. You know, you see somebody come to shul who wants money and you try to avoid them. It's okay. There's all kinds of explanations, but you know, you bump into situations where you feel like, technically speaking, you didn't do anything wrong, but emotionally, religiously, you did something wrong. I'll give you an example that might bother you.
Many people take cut off the corners of a shirt specifically not to wear tzitzis.
Okay, so first of all, I don't know that many people do it.
A number of people do it.
Okay, so, you know, I think that's probably problematic. Because now you could say those people are wearing tzitzis anyway, so it's less offensive. But I'll tell you what a lot of people do, right? You know, well, I'm only, assuming this is the halacha, I'm not saying it is. I'm hungry, but I'm not going to have another piece of pizza. Because if I have another piece of pizza, I'm going to have to bench. Well, benching is a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? Why would we be trying to avoid a mitzvah d'oraisa? So yeah, you know, when you get up in the morning, you know, you don't have to wash for breakfast necessarily because there's a mitzvah to bench. But if you're looking at the food and you're saying, I'm not going to eat this thing because that might cause me to bench, you know, that may be problematic. And so, you know, where does Hachnas HaZorchim fall out? It's hard to say exactly. But I would definitely think that a person who avoids Hachnas HaZorchim is like a person who's avoiding wearing tzitzis, right? He's like a person who's building a house. You know, he's building a house and trying to build it in a way where he doesn't have to use a mezuzah. So no, I don't think you have to post to Efrat Chat, you know, every Thursday looking for Shabbos guests. But, you know, this happened to us, right? You know, your neighbor posts saying, you know, looking for, you know, making a simcha on Shabbos, looking, you know, for a house that can sleep, you know, four people. Now you happen to have four extra beds in your house. I think there it's different. I'm not saying you're chayav to do it. Maybe there are reasons why you can't, etc. But I think that completely changes the equation. And there you may have gone from, okay, Hachnas HaZorchim is a mitzvah I like, and when the opportunity arises, I'll do it. That the simple fact that your neighbor, you know, posted to a list and said looking for, that may change it. And in that situation, you know, it may become more binary, where either you do it or you're mevatel the mitzvah. Okay, let's move on. One of the discussions relating, or one of the broader themes in this parsha and in, you know, and in Sefer Breishis are mitzvahs of Gemilus Chasadim. But Gemilus Chasadim turns out has something unique to it that makes it different than other mitzvahs. We had seen the Rambam early on that said, wait, Gemilus Chasadim might be also a mitzvah d'oraisa of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Well, it turns out there's another mitzvah d'oraisa that Bikur Cholim might fulfill. Look at source number 8. Famous Gemara in Sota Yudalad Amun Aleph. Va'amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina Mai Dichsiv Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teleichu. What does it mean to follow God? V'chi efshar lo la'adam la'aloch achar shchina. Can a person walk after the shchina? No, you can't. Eli skip third line. Lahalo, what does it mean? Lahaloch achar midotav shel hakadosh baruch hu. Right? Literally, what's called in Latin, imitatio Dei, right? Trying to copy the things that God does. Now, what does God do? Mahu malbish arum, God clothes the naked. D'chsiv in Gan Eden v'yas Hashem Elokim l'adam lishtok kos nasor v'yal b'shem afata al beish arumim. God clothed Adam and Chava. You should clothe people who can't afford clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, God visited the sick. D'chsiv v'yiroi lav Hashem b'elo neymamre afata baker cholim. You should do the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem avelim. Because it says next week's parasha, no, 2 weeks. Vahi acharei Mos Avraham, vayivarech Elohim es Yitzchak bino. God visited Yitzchak, nichum aveilim, afatan achem aveilim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu kover meitim. He buried Moshe Rabbeinu. You too should bury, you know, should assist in funerals. Now, last piece of that Gemara, last three lines, because it's interesting. Darash Rabbi Simlai Torah. Tchilata gemilut chasadim, v'sofa gemilut chasadim. Rav Simla said, you know what? The Torah starts with gemilus chasadim. The Torah ends with gemilus chasadim. Tchilata gemilut chasadim, d'chsiv v'yas Hashem Elokim l'adam u'lishto kos nosor v'yal b'shem. God made clothing for Adam and Chava, v'sofa gemilut chasadim, d'chsiv v'yikbor oto bagai. That God buried Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So the point is, Gemilut Chasadim is a critical element within the Torah. But more than that, Gemilut Chasadim can therefore be a completely different mitzvah. What mitzvah can it be? When I do Gemilut Chasadim, I am playing God. I am imitating God. God does Gemilut Chasadim, and so do I. How does it work? That's the Rambam in source number 9. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos says as follows. V'hamitzvah hashminit hi shetzivanu lihidamot bo yitale lefi yicholteinu. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of copying God as much as possible. It's clear, you know, God is God. We can't be God. But there are things that God does that we see mostly in Sefer Breishis that we're supposed to imitate. You're supposed to follow God's path. We are supposed to, as much as possible, be like God, merciful and compassionate and helpful. We're also supposed to copy God. Whenever we know that God did something, we're supposed to do it. So here we bump into another way of looking at the mitzvah of Gemilut Chasadim in general. I'll admit, I know of no sources that say that God did Hachnasat Orchim. I suppose, if you want to be creative and somebody here is going to say it, so I'll say it first, God hosted Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 days at a time on Har Sinai. But, my understanding is that Moshe didn't eat or drink. So that's not really our model of Hachnasat Orchim. But Hachnasat Orchim falls into this general category of Gemilut Chasadim. And Gemilut Chasadim are things that God does. And we have a mitzvah to imitate God as much as possible. And one of the primary way of imitating God, as seen in the Gemara, is doing the things that God does. And doing Gemilut Chasadim. So here we find another example. Gemilut Chasadim is a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. But on top of that, it might be a mitzvah d'Oraisa of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. It might also be a mitzvah d'Oraisa of Lihidamot B'Darkei Hashem, of copying God. Okay, let's finish with one last point. I think it's intuitive to us, but it also plays out in a pretty obvious way in this week's parsha. I think what's intuitive to us, if you ask people, if you ask, where do you want to live? I think if we were honest with ourselves, we want to have a nice house, whatever, but you want to live in a supportive community, right? You want to live in a community in which Gemilut Chasadim and Tzedakah is something that people naturally do, right? You want to live there because people who do that seem like the kind of people you want as your neighbors. And it turns out it's not just something we want, it's a halacha. Look at source number 10. Here's the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat. Kuf Samach Gimel Seif Aleph. The Rama says there as follows. V'kofin b'nei ha'ir ze et ze lehachnis orchim u'lechalek lohem tzedaka v'litein b'toch kis shel tzedaka. The municipality of Ephrat can require us to take in guests, right? That's unbelievable. The municipality of Ephrat can force us to give tzedakah. Now, on the one hand, nobody likes to be told what to do. But on the other hand, how wonderful is that? It comes up sometimes in the worst of circumstances, right? We're always proud, in a war, something terrible happens, We bring 50 chayalim to Ephrat and people give food and, it's fantastic. It really is. And that's almost certainly the mitzvah, the classic mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. Because the answer to the question I raised at the beginning is, it's probably the case that when you host your neighbor who has a big house and has many friends and, it's a nice thing to do. It's a neighborly thing to do. It definitely creates a positive feeling. And it might be the mitzvah d'oraisa of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha, meaning if you're the kind of person who loves to be invited out for meals and you know that about your neighbor, that's the mitzvah d'oraisa of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Interestingly, it's probably not the mitzvah d'rabbanan of achnasat orchim. But when chayalim come, and they have no place to stay. And of course, when people are in Gaza and they're being bombed and they have no, taking those people in is a mitzvah hachnasat orchim. And more than that, the town can make us do it. Now, why do I find that so interesting? Because it's the antithesis of another story in this week's parasha. And here, the Ramban really goes to town. There's a number of Rambans. I put one on the sheet. Okay. Stone is a metaphor, of course, for evil. And the question is, the question that bothers some people, and I think it bothered Ramban, okay, well, what was it, right? You know, there are plenty of evil places in the world. What is San Francisco, for one? Okay, I shouldn't have said that. Now, what is it about Stone? In the history of the world, leaving out the Mabul, I don't know of another place that God destroyed. Stone, we think of as being like the epitome or the, you know, it is evil. What is it? So when you look at the psukim with the story of, you know, the Malachim coming to Lot to save him, one pasuk stands out, source 11. Vayikru'u el Lot vayomru lo ayeho anashim asher bo'u alecha halayla hotziyem eleinu v'neida'a otam. They say to Lot, where are the guests who came to you tonight? You know, bring them out of the house. V'neida'a otam. And it's hard to sugarcoat this. V'neida'a otam means we'll rape them. Pretty much every parshan sees it that way. That's the simple pshat, right? Ladat in the Torah, v'ha'adam yadat ishto, it refers to, you know, to marital relations. And in this case, almost certainly, you know, it refers to homosexual rape. Now, that's pretty bad. And I would have thought to myself, why is Stone being destroyed? Stone is being destroyed because of sexual deviancy, right? It is just horrible stuff. Like, how could it be? But the Ramban doesn't think so. It's important to point out, it's not because the Ramban isn't offended by sexual deviancy, but the Ramban thinks there's something much worse going on. Bottom one, v'neida otam. Says the Ramban, what was the goal? The goal, bizarrely, wasn't the pleasure. The kavanatam lechalot et haregel mibeinehem. What Stone wanted to do was stop guests from coming. They didn't want immigrants. They didn't want new people. They didn't want poor. They didn't want guests. Ki divrei rabotenu, ki chashvu shebaavur tovat artzam shehi kigan Hashem. Stone really was beautiful and had natural resources. What was their fear all the time? Poor people will come. Yavo sham rabim. Vehem hayu mo'asei hatzdaka. Stone was built, you know, on a policy of no charity, no guests, no hachnasat orchim. Valdat rabotenu hayu bohem kol midot ra'ot. They had a lot of bad things. Aval nigmar dinam aloto ha'avon. But it was their objection to hachnasat orchim that caused God to destroy them. Mipnei shelo hechziku yad ani ve'avyon. They had no social, you know, no social net. They wouldn't support anybody who needed help. Because that was built into the bylaws of Stone. And he says, even bad people, you know, help poor people from time to time. Right? You know, you could be a terrible place, a place of sinning, but you're still going to help your neighbor. He said, there was no place like Stone. Stone, says the Ramban here and elsewhere, institutionalized the anti-hachnasat orchim position. Stone was built on, and here the Ramban, I think it's amazing, the Ramban says there's immorality all over the world, right? There's rape and things like that all over the world, and they're terrible, and they should be punished, and we have to wipe them out. But I think the Ramban would say, okay, there are bad human beings. But the difference is when a whole group of people get together and they establish a place and they say, you know, there's no guests, there's no supporting poor people, there's no helping people who need help. We don't want that because we don't want these people amongst us. We just want to be, you know, a gated community of rich people who are never bothered by poor people. That place has to be destroyed. And in a way, you know, the stories are juxtaposed. Avraham's exaggerated hachnasas orchim, you know, seen in the light of the next story in the Parsha of Stone, like, it's hard to miss the point. This old man Avram running around in pain with the joy of bringing these people in and supporting them and then walking with them and making them feel valued and presumably telling them to come back anytime versus the people of Stone. It's amazing to me that, again, there's no other city that's ever destroyed in the Torah. And it's destroyed simply because of its anti-hachnasat orchim. And here you see again, Drabanan Daraisa, who cares? It's a value. What we learn in Sefer Bereishis are values. And what we learn in this week's Parsha is the value of supporting, you know, people who need our help, specifically, but not only in Hachnasat Orchim. And, you know, if you put that together with the idea that a town can require it, I think it's wonderful that we live in a town where it is part of the fiber of the community. Almost always when somebody asks for help on the Efrat list or otherwise, you know, people step up. And I think, you know, when we do that, we have to say to ourselves, one, we're doing a mitzvah d'rabbanan v'achnasas orchim. Two, we're doing a mitzvah d'oraisa of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Three, we're imitating God, who was the biggest gomel chasadim of all, or who is the biggest gomel chasadim of all. And more important than anything, we know what God wants. In that moment, we're being like Avraham, and we're not being like the people of Stone. And even though they're two extremes, you know, the world is made up of those two extremes. And so, okay, we did Parsha, we did Halacha. The Halacha part was mostly what kind of mitzvah is it, where I really believe it's a mitzvah that min haTorah, or midrabanan, the Shochrach, you don't have to necessarily chase after it. It's nice to. I mean, we want to be like Abraham, but as a halachic matter, you don't have to chase after it. But to avoid it, you know, then it becomes like the mitzvah of tzitzis, where we really think you have to wear tzitzis, not because it's the halacha, but because if you're wearing clothing anyway, it looks like you're trying to avoid it. Same thing with mezuzah. You don't have to have them. You could build a house that's not chayav and mezuzah. But who wants to be that kind of person? We want to be the kind of people who chase after mitzvahs. Yashar koach to everybody. We're out of time. I guess next week. Yes, David.
Circling around to your first point, does it, after all this, what do you take? What's your takeaway in terms of inviting the next door neighbor, and whether or not that it might be Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha? But the question is it truly Hachnasat Orchim in the way?
No, I'll tell you. I think you should do it. I think it's lovely. I think it builds community. I think God wants us to do it. In my heart, I think it's probably not the narrow mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim, right? I think somebody who moves to Efrat, a new Oleh, somebody, you know, or somebody who's eating alone for whatever reason, I think those come much, much closer to Hachnasat Orchim. But I want to be careful in what I'm saying, because it would be terrible if people said, well, I'm not going to invite the neighbors because I'm not getting the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. That would be terrible. I think that's that's a twisting of halacha. It's interesting. Okay, technically speaking, I think the halacha probably is that if your neighbors have four kids at home with them, and they have money, and they have food, and they sing Zmiros, and their lives, you know, I think it's nice to have them. I think it creates a communal feel. My instinct is the halacha wants us to do it, but my instinct is it's much more likely to be a mitzvah of Yohavta L'Recha Kamocha, which, good news, is the Doraisa, rather than the mitzvah Drabanan of, you know. But on the other hand, I think if you know that the husband went away to America, you know, and she's by herself, I think that probably moves you much closer to Hachnasat Orchim. Yeah, Alan, quick.
Yeah, I want to elaborate on what you said. You're saying, you know, that Avram's essence is Chasnathan Orchim, that that doesn't stop him from advocating for Sodom, which is the opposite of all his values. I think that's, you know, fascinating.
No, right. And that makes him greater than, you know, it really does. Okay, gotta run. Bye, everybody.
Shkoyach. Good day, Rabbi.